Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm Tim Shanahan, your host, and today we're going to talk about, are we getting the right information when it comes to the science of reading? Recently, I heard from my colleague and friend, Claude Goldenberg. Claude helped me put together this podcast. Claude is one of the most knowledgeable experts on second language literacy. He's not only intelligent, sensitive, and reliable, but someone who takes the idea of applying science to education seriously. He noticed a problem and pointed it out to me recently. It was something that I had noticed myself in a very different context, so I was intrigued. He and I became a kind of mini committee of correspondence, exchanging emails about our concerns. These days, there is much attention to the science of reading in public discourse and policy making. It is aimed at instruction for both native speakers and English learners. Claude and I are cool with that. However, some of what is being promoted is not really science. It fits into the science drawer about as well as Kanye West fits into a Taylor Swift festival. This blog and podcast emerged from our round robin, providing you with the wisdom of two experts for the price of one. Now, sometimes an argument ends up in court. The plaintiffs and defense hire experts to support their case. Judges evaluate their expertise to determine the value of their testimony. Not every tool in the shed is sharp enough to gain expert status. Journalists face a similar problem when it comes to literacy education. They usually address this by seeking a range of opinions. Expert 1 says phonics is effective and helps young children learn to read. Expert 2 disagrees. The resulting news story concludes something like, "Educators don't agree on the value of phonics." The problem with that is that most educators do not disagree over that issue. Trying to reveal both sides of an issue is admirable, but this kind of, on the one hand, on the other hand, reporting can make it look like a raging reading war when most reading scientists agree that some early phonics instruction is a good idea and should be part of any complete reading program, including those aimed at English learners. But what counts as expertise in this kind of kerfuffle? Recently, I was asked about phonics by a reporter. After I told him about the instructional studies that had consistently found phonics instruction conferred an early learning advantage, he expressed skepticism. He'd already discussed the matter with another expert whom he indiscreetly named. Now, that expert assured him phonics couldn't work. I was gobsmacked. The named expert did know reading, but his or her expertise regarding decoding was decidedly circumscribed. This expert had never taught or supervised at the grade levels in question, had never done research on phonics or any related topics, had never prepared teachers to teach beginning reading. The study proving phonics didn't work was an analysis of phonics generalizations from 1963 that showed exceptions to many of the rules then being taught. That expert failed to note later large-scale analyses of tens of thousands of English words that found much greater spelling consistency and ignored all the instructional studies. I felt bad for the journalist. He knew neither of us. He had to evaluate our contributions based only on credentials. The other expert's credentials were impeccable in terms of degrees, university appointments, recognition in the field. That his or her expertise included little that would provide deep knowledge on the issue in question would not be readily apparent. I've been in a similar situation. Journal editors must identify reviewers with sufficient knowledge to adequately referee research articles for publication. I would select experts with the kind of specific and specialized expertise that a decoding researcher would bring to a phonics study. However, I would also choose someone else, knowledgeable in the field more generally, to try to avoid any bias that might enter the review process due to unstated opinions, assumptions, or beliefs that the more specialized reviewers might possess. Even with that, I probably wouldn't have chosen the same informant this journalist did. Just not knowledgeable, conversant, or up-to-date enough to justify using him or her for an outsider's expert view. Claude pointed out a similar, less public and more in the weeds disagreement between Stanislaus Dehaene and Stephen L. Strauss concerning the interpretation of neuroscientific research on reading. Dehaene is a noted neuroscientist with a long history of research contributions, while Strauss is a practicing neurologist with a PhD in linguistics and strong opinions about teaching reading. He neither has research credentials, nor does he appear even conversant in the neuroscientific literature that has accumulated over the past couple of decades. He not only has disdain for the work of pretty much every eminent scholar in that field, but rejects much of the instructional research too. Beware of expert opinions from other fields of study. A neurologist's opinions about the best way to teach reading are about as useful as reading educators' opinions about how best to treat neurological problems. I could tell you a few things about neurological problems, but I won't. Advocates more interested in advancing ill-informed positions than weighing the evidence take advantage of false equivalences such as these to obscure relevant facts and neutralize relevant but inconvenient to their position evidence. In a recent posting, for example, members of the California Association for Bilingual Education, CABE or CABI, wondered how a dispute between two highly respected neuroscientists, Dr. Strauss and Dr. Dehaene, could possibly be resolved by mere mortals such as journalists or the rest of us. Easy. Compare their credentials. This one is an easy call if we dig below the surface of competing claims. Reporters, too, wanting to surface adversarial positions, often at the behest of editors who likely know even less about the issues than they do, will report such a disagreement as if the two sides are equivalent. Then teachers and teacher educators who may themselves have little knowledge about research may cling to opinions such as Strauss's or Cabi's to justify their own. Misinformation among educators and advocates for English learners, also known as emergent bilinguals or multilingual learners, has especially proliferated over the past few years. Claims have been made, for example, that these students have different brains, learn differently, and therefore require fundamentally different approaches to teaching reading, or that reading research, aka science of reading, does not apply to these students because relevant studies have only included monolingual, mostly English-speaking students. These claims have been shown to be flatly untrue in articles for a broad education audience and for those particularly interested in these specific populations of students. But these and other misguided beliefs can still influence unwary and uninformed educators. Teachers and teacher educators are seemingly in the same spot as the courts and reporters when it comes to evaluating expertise. But there's one important difference. Journalists and judges rarely have made up their minds on the issue before they start. Professional educators often have already developed strong ideological positions about pedagogical topics, phonics instruction just being one of many. In such cases, these educators aren't seeking knowledge, but affirmation. Think about it. Do you believe that kids learn to read best from reading and that schools should therefore devote considerable time to just letting kids read on their own? Do you believe that textbooks are bad for kids? Do you think that since it's possible sometimes to guess the next word accurately without looking, there's no need to teach decoding? Do you believe that kids who speak different languages are wired differently so they need to read and learn to read differently? If you answered yes to any of those or to dozens of similar queries, then the question is, would any amount or type of evidence change your mind? Over my career, I've often had to adjust my thinking because empirical studies revealed things that I did not know or believe. I consider myself to be data-driven rather than ideology-driven. I try to use the right kind of evidence to answer a question. The complications and inconsistency of English do give one pause. Maybe kids don't need that kind of help, perhaps? Likewise, the language learning needs of English learners would seem to dwarf their decoding needs. Maybe phonics won't help those kids. Research can help answer those kinds of questions. Studies again and again have revealed learning benefits for such teaching, including for English learners. Personally, I'm less interested in opinions on this kind of issue, especially the opinions of individuals with limited knowledge on the subject in question. Journalists often seek such experts to provide supposedly balanced reporting and to humanize an issue. Human voices are more appealing than research findings to most readers, whether they're educators, policymakers, or members of the public. The problem is that one side of some arguments, such as whether phonics should be a part of reading instruction for all students, regardless of their English language proficiency, is supported by large numbers of independent studies that have been impartially reviewed. Those studies show that including phonics in a comprehensive reading program reduces failure and raises average literacy levels. Relying on dubious expert opinion in the face of scads of actual data may not be the cause of the reading wars, but it sure keeps them going. The solution? Journalists should be careful of the on the one hand, on the other hand kind of reporting. Real or presumed experts should beg off replying to journalists' questions when they have little or no special knowledge on a topic. Now, I know that can be hard, but I've had to do it myself. A journalist asks you a question that you really don't have the knowledge to answer. You should tell them that and maybe recommend somebody who would be able to help. Teachers and principals also need to be skeptical about expert claims, especially claims made without evidence. Look not just at the surface level, but drill down and see if they really do have credentials that should allow their opinion to be an expert opinion. For a variety of reasons, none of these things is easy to accomplish, but we must try to do so, and we should challenge others to do so. The alternative is continued confusion and misinformed policies and practices. Our students, their families, and our society will continue to bear the brunt if we continue to ignore people's credentials and if we continue to ignore, not just, we need to go beyond looking for these differences of opinion and look to see how much opinion is on one side of the issue and how much on the other. If we do that, I think we can start to get the information that we really need. And with that, that'll be my final word on that today. If you'd like to get a written copy of this, you can download that from the Shanahan on Literacy website under the title of Are We Getting the Right Information When It Comes to the Science of Reading? This is posting on January 4th, 2025, first posting of the new year. And it has 13 research references in it that you might want to be able to get your hands on. And so that's all on the Shanahan on Literacy website. I'd like to thank our sound engineer, Greg Johnson, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you up the road a piece.